I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Move, a podcast which is hosted by me, Jamie Lang, and my business partner, Ed Williams. Now, in 2012, Ed and I founded our confectionery business, Candy Kittens, a business which I'd actually dreamed of having ever since I was 6 years old. And honestly, we wouldn't have achieved half of what we've been able to without all the amazing tips and advice we picked up along the way. Move stands for Motivation, Opportunity, Vision, Entrepreneurship. And each episode of the podcast, we're bringing you the stories of founders, innovative thinkers, entrepreneurs and winners who show us all what's possible with hard work and focus. So whatever you're moving towards, we hope today's guests will open your eyes to what you can achieve. This is Move.
Ed, you're going to be excited because you love food, you love burgers, you're going to love the guest today.
I am excited. So today we're chatting to Joe Grossman, founder of Patty and Bun, in my opinion, probably the best burger in London. Joe founded the business 10 years ago. They've now got 8 standalone sites. They do stacks and stacks of events around the country, and he's just so inspiring.
The best thing about Joe, which I love, is that he's always said he's unemployable. And that's what I kind of slightly relate to. He is a very eccentric guy. He's an interesting person. Ed, cannot wait for this guest to happen.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Joe Grossman, Patty and Bun.
Party time.
All right, here we go.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, man.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Thank you, Joe. No, good to see you.
Dude, did you wake up this morning and you were like, holy
shit. Jacked.
I'm excited.
No, I was jacked up, mate. Big time. I was on the VersaClimber at 6:30 a.m. Boom, 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 boom. No, but I hadn't had much sleep because of the 8-month-old... She's wild.
Well, this is the thing with you, man. Like, so Joe, you and I, we bump into each other in the gym a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you do this kind of thing.
Just so putting it out there. Jamie works out.
But in the morning, it's true. You know, Joe's always there. You're up. You've got an 8-month-year-old baby. You've got a wife. You're running a business.
Yeah.
You're getting up every single day to go and train. And do you have that routine every single day? Does that keep your head ticking?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I mean, you know, look, everyone's different, but I am a lunatic when it comes to needing that routine, 100%. Like, you know, sounds naff. Healthy body, healthy mind. But I mean, you know, for me, I genuinely can't operate if I don't exercise. So, and also, you know, endorphins and all that jazz. But I just think you operate 110 million times percent better when you're feeling fresh and healthy.
Yeah,
and that's slightly ironic considering Patty and Bun is premium filth.
But I couldn't agree with you. Ed, you have that as well. I found that out. I found that out later in life, weirdly.
Yeah.
Where at school, we take it for granted. You know, we all went to schools where we had the ability to play sport every single day and had those opportunities out there. But we took that very much for granted because so every single day we were playing in a team or playing a sport and our endorphins were being raised and all those different things.
Yeah.
And throughout your 20s, your focus goes to other places like partying or whatever it is. And you kind of then disregard your own body, which means you then disregard your own head, which is your
100%.
Meant to be the healthiest thing. And so when you start training again, it puts you back on that kind of routine road to be structured and disciplined in your life.
I think, mate, you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, you know, structure, discipline. I think I've done a couple of, you know, I've done a marathon, I've done a half Ironman just because I like the challenge. But I think when you've, you know, it's definitely something in my psyche in terms of like it's aligned to the same sort of drive that I have, that we have, like at Patty, which is you're always trying to improve.
I guess that's what I was going to ask Joe, is how do you, does that kind of discipline and structure then roll over and spill over into the Patty and Bun life?
Yeah, 100%, mate. I think, you know, we're a brand and very much, you know, it's a personality, you know, driven brand. And we've got an incredible team of like individuals, but essentially, you know, we're always pushing to improve. And I think that is, it's the same, you know, I run parallels with, you know, when, you know, I see Jamie like working hard in the gym, but yeah, but you know, you want to push yourself and you want to try and improve. You get one shot in life. And I think it's important if you've got an opportunity, and we've, you know, we've carved out a really great opportunity, I think, in Patty with, you know, the brand and where we're sort of moving towards. It's the same principles with, you know, wake up and try and sort of get your shit right.
And is that something you kind of try and instill in the team as well? Is that sort of
definitely. I got everyone down KXC to do a spin session the other day. Yeah. Some were loving it, some were like, you motherfucker. But excuse my French. But it's great. You know, obviously it's like team bonding, but we have a really tight team, and it's, you know, you're working with people that you love working with, and you're spending a lot of time together. And it's sort of, you know, if this sort of mantra of trying to sort of push forward and improve ourselves daily, you know, that we do in Patty, then that should be outside and inside of work, like, all the time. That should 100%. Be, it's a lifestyle. Yeah. I mean, it's very much a mental.
But Joe, have you been that from, you know, you're talking about being sort of constantly challenging yourself, constantly pushing yourself forward, being part of a team. Have you been like that ever since you were a kid? Were you an outsider?
Going back here.
Yeah, mate, we're going back to the roots,
Jamie,
baby.
Jamie's like, we're going to ask you about your childhood. I'm going to go, like, this is like being on the Shrink couch.
I want to know about those abandonment issues.
Yeah. There it is, baby. Mum and Dad, I love you. I wouldn't say, like, you know, as a kid, you know, I was like always trying to push and da-da-da-da. I was really ambitious in terms of if we're doing a sport or like anything, you know, I really wanted to do well in it and try and sort of be the best that I could. But I think it probably came, the super sort of competitiveness sort of came when probably sort of left uni and was like sort of in that balancing point whereby I was just fucking about, didn't really have a true sort of calling in terms of exactly what I wanted to sort of do.
What did you do at uni, Joe?
History of art. Hello!
Okay.
Yeah, it's really sort of aligned to what I'm doing now. But no, I mean, you go to uni, you have a good time. I mean, like...
Where did you go?
I was at Leeds University and it was, you know...
Same as me.
Yeah, there it is. Leeds. Yeah, rolling. But I mean, you know, it was great. I treated uni as, you know, you're getting independence, you're having a great time.
100%.
If you do, you know, we were doing bits and bobs work-wise, like this and that, and you're just trying to do... I mean, you could pretty much cram everything into about a week. Like, in terms of those 3 years, it's fucking, let's be honest. I mean, like, yeah, uni, I mean, like, whatever. So, but, you know, it's good fun. You meet a lot of people, you gain independence, and I probably should have used the time. I think my one regret was at Leeds was not utilising the time better to go and do other things, because you do have a shitload of time. But, you know, don't really live with too many regrets because it's pointless.
But do you think that, so university for you wasn't one of those places like me. I didn't go there to be further educated. I wasn't interested in that. I went backwards
in education.
That's the same as me. I went there because I wanted to, exactly the same as you, I wanted to be self-sufficient, to understand life, to do those kind of things. And subconsciously, that kind of happened.
Definitely.
And I think that you're probably like me. If I, and Ed, actually, no, Ed, because you were different, because you actually were interested in being creative and actually building things and understanding stuff.
Yeah, but I definitely agree that for me, university was all about the kind of independence.
Yeah, 100%.
Meeting those new people, opening your eyes to the world.
That's so much more valuable. To like have that instead of
the course could have been a course of one of
yeah. 100 I mean, unless you're doing, you know, like I want to be a doctor or XYZ, and you're doing like, you know, however many years.
And were you good at uni?
I got a 2-1, mate. Tick the box. Okay. Nice. Bang. That's all you sort of really need out of it. Next, but I mean, you know, I wouldn't. You know, if the little munchkin doesn't want to go to uni, I'm not going to be like, get your ass to uni.
But that's interesting because you went to Latimer School, you know, privately educated, and you were brought up that way. Went to university, and you have a baby now. But you would say to that baby, hey, you know, if you don't want to follow down that road, I wouldn't want that to happen.
I think, you know, I'm not going to start giving parenting advice. Pretty fresh into it, but essentially, you know. You just want them to be sort of happy and have like drive. What I would say is like, if you've got a passion or you've got an interest in something, you should throw yourself wholeheartedly into it as much as you can and try and be the best at that. I think that's, you know, look, going to uni is great. It sort of gives you, I think the main thing that we're discussing is independence, which is invaluable. But, you know, did I learn a lot in terms of academically? Questionable. Yeah, very questionable.
So where does that drive come from then?
It's a good question, mate. Deep within the belly.
No, mate.
I think there's, well, there's multiple things. I'm probably not going to fit it all into this, but, you know, my mum and dad are incredibly sort of a great inspiration to me. So is my brother as well, who's, you know, and like, they're not like, you know, super CEOs or anything like that. Ben works in property and he's effing good at it and super successful. And just, I think the mantra and sort of the way that we grew up is, you know, just if you're going to, and it wasn't like, you know, there's no forcefulness whatsoever. They just led by example in terms of like, my dad, he's an orthodontist and he's just, if you talk to him, you come out and you're like, hello, I can do anything in the world. Like, you know, you're sort of, it's just really inspiring. And he sort of continues every day to sort of push himself to improve. And I think it doesn't matter what you do. I think, you know, that sort of spirit in terms of how we saw that and sort of fed off it as kids for me and Ben, we're just not sort of built in the way that you can just cruise. Yeah. Or it's just not for me.
But that's interesting, Joe, because you're saying what you were like in life, right? Is this person, and you had grown up, your parents kind of sort of subconsciously educated you through this. You throw yourself into something. If you're going to do it, it doesn't matter if you're an orthodontist or you're in property, you do it 100%.
Yeah. Give 110%. I mean, like, what's the point of not?
But then you're saying at university you didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean...
So then what how come...
Yeah, it's good. Fucking hell. Like, here we go. Yeah, the contradictions are starting.
Because I agree. I'm like you, and I throw myself wholeheartedly into something.
I think you've got to find your passion as well. I think... You know, look, some people are super happy to go to work and, you know, do a 9-to-5 and check in, check out. It's just, I'm like essentially unemployable. I genuinely think, and I think we're talking about, Ed, you mentioned, you know, when did that sort of trigger sort of happen? I think when I came out of university, you know, I wasn't stimulated. I didn't know exactly like what I wanted to do. And essentially that builds a sort of anxiety and a slight fear in you as well. You have some people that come out and like, I'm going to be in property or I'm, you know, whatever, I'm going to go and whatever the fuck it is. But, you know, I came out and I was like, la-dee-da, you know, like you just have, there was no real like, okay, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and get stuck in. So I think, you know, for a good few years, right out the back of uni, I did like sports marketing, worked in insurance underwriting, fucking tedious. No offense to anyone, because I've got a couple of great mates, and like one of my best mates' dad gave me the job. So, but I wanted to kamikaze out the fucking window. So, and don't get me wrong, it's a great social environment, but it is not for me. Suited and booted, shaved, blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, the bottom line is, I just felt completely lost. I wasn't into the work. They knew that, Rupert, the pups, he knew that. And I just got to sort of a crossroads where I was like, you know, I've always had a deep passion in food, love going out to restaurants. For years, you know, when you were younger, you know, all I used to watch is food programs. I think, you know, I had that sort of subconsciously ingrained that, you know, everyone's sort of like, I'm going to open a restaurant. Da, 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 da. It wasn't sort of like that. It was just like, I've got a real sort of passion, and let's sort of, you know, I was at a crossroads, and luckily, you know, mum and dad are incredibly supportive, and they just gave me a little shunt in the right direction, because I was, you know, I was pretty lost and I needed to make a change and to get stuck in.
Sat you down one day.
Well, I'm, you know, without sounding, you know, giving myself a pat on the back, I sort of knew that I wasn't going to be there forever. And it was like, you know, quite young, so it was a good time, didn't have any responsibilities, I was a complete muppet, you know, like, you're just like, ooh, got the perfect opportunity to go and try something and sort of throw myself into it.
Talk to us a bit then about Patty and Bone. How did it start? What was
the idea? I mean, the roller coaster.
Because what's so interesting about that, right, is Patty and Bone started 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that the real...
2010.
So we were. James Street, the original shop, mate, opened November 2012, but it was essentially about a two and a half year journey just to get the shop open, which really was the make or break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Break.
And that's the interesting bit as well, is because, and what Ed and I really relate to, is that we started a sweet business, and for 18 months we didn't have sweets.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and what everyone doesn't realise is that they go, right, I'm going to set up a burger restaurant.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's the process. Everyone sees the end product.
Yeah,
and they go,
course,
well, this looks easy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%. They're like, oh, this is great. You're fucking killing it. I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about, in the best possible way. Because, yeah, you know, if it was easy,
how
everyone would do it.
But also, just Joe, quickly, there's that 1 minute where you were about 23, 22 years old, right, in 2010.
Yeah.
And you had all this energy, right?
Yeah,
and your parents saw this energy, but it was just about harnessing.
I'm slightly calmer now.
But it was about harnessing that energy.
Yeah, definitely.
What some of it, you're saying you got pushed in the right direction, but
there's got to be a drive.
As an entrepreneur, you know, a lot of people have that. You know, more intelligent or have better ideas or whatever it is. But there's something within you that went, nothing was ticking. What was that thing you was like, right, I'm going to do this?
It was like a
moment.
Ticking time bomb. Like, no, but I think, mate, you sort of hit the nail on the head that there was just something in me that was, and, you know, and I think this is all aligned in terms of, you know, I felt lost. I didn't have like something to really like grab hold of. Combine that with, you know, like an incredible respect and admiration for, like, you know, my dad, who, you know, owns his own business, and again, just, you know, driving every single day to improve as a person, you know, not just content at all. And I think, you know, when you combine that with, you know, I love food, I just knew that I wanted to do my own thing. And then once it sort of evolved, because, you know, I went and worked at a restaurant in Roast in Borough Market, which was great. It's just sort of got, you know, because you need to get your hands like dirty. I didn't have like 20 years experience in the food industry or anything like that. I knew that I had a passion for food and I wanted to get stuck in and just feel it out and see what's what.
What came first, Joe? Is it wanting to start your own thing or?
No, I think deep down I always knew that I wanted to do my own thing. But I think, you know, the first steps was get stuck into food and just, and sort of map it out a little bit and just and get a feel of things.
How valuable do you think that
was? Immense, mate. I knew exactly what I didn't want to do, which was key.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Sorry to cut. That bit's amazing because a lot of people out there who want to start their business, they go, right, I'm going to go and build a house, but they have no experience within it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually went out there and did the thing which no one wants to do, is do the tricky bit, which understand
you.
You
got to go and get your hands there. I think it's a balance, mate. You can spend, and you know, like, it really is a balance. You know, you can't. You get people that are like, I'm going to go and get so much experience and X, Y, Z. I think you've got to have a rawness and a naivety slightly and a bit of, you know, a bit of like, fuck it, I'm going to go and shake shit up a little bit, which is the fun bit. You're like a burning desire. And there's also fear in that. And that fear, if you can like motivate that into a driver instead of actually, you know, utilizing that instead of it actually drawing you back is a really, really great tool to have. And I think, you know, I was absolutely, you know, fast forward a little bit after my time at Rose, and I went, you know, I went and worked in like the kitchen of Leon, like back in Old Compton Street back in the day, just, you know, band the hairnet on just to go and, you know, see that sort of operational side of aspect, because at the time Patty and Bun in my mindset was a bit more like that sort of dynamic as an operation, etc. But at some point I was like, you know, you need to take a leap of faith. And I actually, you know, that rawness was epic. It was your tunnel vision, and it's fucking exciting.
And you, okay, it's year 2010, yeah. 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've had a bit of experience. You've gone through all the places of Borough Market. Minimal
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
You then find out, how do you find out, and what is the process? What do you begin? What was the first thing you do to start?
Absolute mayhem, mate. Absolute mayhem. No, it was so good. I mean, you know, you know, when people ask about like the story of Patty, it gets, you know, when you get into like the story of, you know, of how you started and stuff like that, the best thing explaining is almost this, because it's, you know, you're so, I had such a clear vision back then of exactly how I wanted the brand to be, what it needed to mean, how it sort of was going to feel, the tangible, you know, like how you're going to touch the brand, like just everything. And I think, you know, you always need to work sort of from the end point back in terms of like what you want to achieve, and then, you know, stay true to that sort of mantra and sort of goal. And I think at the time...
And that's so key. You think that you always need... So you,
don't get me wrong. You got to evolve. Like, sure. But adapt or die.
But you need that destination, yeah, where you're heading 100%. To.
I mean, you chat to a lot of people, food, whatever, like, you know, and it's just quite whimsical. Like, and I'm not, look, by far and away, I'm not saying we're perfect. We're always trying to improve every single day. And, you know, we're making those sort of incremental changes, those trying to gain an inch a day, essentially, to, you know, that really adds up. But essentially, you know, the spine of what we do and the sort of the core ethos and brand DNA of everything, I had a real clear vision in my mind of how it needed to be. And that was like, you know, whatever it was, like 8-9 years ago, which for me, you know, you need to have that mission statement from day one.
And it's interesting, Joey, to hear you talk a lot about brand. For us, I mean, I see a lot of similarities between us. Yeah, Candy Kittens really is just a brand.
Yeah, of course.
First.
Yeah.
And we really, really believe that. We don't make the sweets ourselves. We work with partners. And for us, that's so key. So how did you kind of arrive on that? How did you know brand was so important?
I mean, it's, you know, obviously, again, like, you know, I sound like a bit of a twat, but like, I love marketing. I love branding. I'm quite creative. You know, it wasn't just the one thing, we're going to make the best burgers. It was like, you know, and it's funny, internally, we talk about like Patty as a lifestyle. It's very much like a lifestyle. And, you know, in terms of what we believe and like how we want people to experience the brand, whether it's, you know, because it needs to be accessible to all, but you could be, you know, music's a big part of what we do, service, and like obviously burgers are the sort of the core, like, you know, the spine of everything that we do. But I don't know, it's just every part of the chain needs to work.
I mean, the brand is ace. Absolutely love it.
Cheers, man. That's good. Be good if I came on in. You were like, dog shit. It's actually our third favourite burger in London. That's fine, mate, as well. It's subjective, so it doesn't really matter.
But honestly, I do love the brand. And is that something you guys created in-house? How did you go about
that
when you first started?
Obviously, you know...
And just quickly, sorry, was it Patty and Bun called that from the start?
Yeah. I was having a nightmare with the name, like, at the beginning, but I think this is...
Everybody does.
Yeah, you do, but it's such a good process to have, and I think, you know, answering your question, guys, and going back to, you know, what you're talking about in terms of, like, you know, the brand and what it means that you talk about brand and stuff like that, because... It is bigger than just like coming in and having a burger. I mean, like, the mantra was, I want to create the best brand in the world. Obviously, I've got a little way to go, but as in, like, you know, you want to be reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
And I think, corny, but, you know, it needs to be said. But, and the brand was, I mean, you know, that's what you're putting out there.
100%. There's a wicked quote from Jeff Bezos that I read the other day that says, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
100%.
Yeah. And I think it's
banging.
That's it.
And like, people know, which, you know, I'm so, you know, love that, you know, you guys talk about Patty and Bun, and it has emotional like connotations when you talk about the brand. Now it's more than just, you know, what people see in terms of, you know, yeah, I'm going to go there and get a burger. It actually means something. There's a sort of a tangibility to it. I think when we were creating, or when I was creating the brand back in the beginning, I really just wanted to create something that's very much less is more. And simplicity, essentially, you know, the hardest stuff to do is the simple stuff. And we wanted to create, you know, something that was timeless. And fucking hate any sort of naming that has the actual product in it to a certain extent, in like something burger, da-da, burger, and again, each their own. But, you know, I wanted it to be that iconic, that you see it and, you know, you straight away think of, you know, great burgers. It's, and, you know, Patty and Bun, basically, I was having a nightmare, like I said, and we were doing a pop-up about a week or a couple of weeks into sort of like developing the brand in order to sort of gain some traction and sort of, you know, it was all like pop-ups are the rage and like Twitter and Instagram and all that jazz, and which is great. Just, so let me just put it out there. And I was just sitting in the car and I was literally like, oh, fucking hell, I just can't fucking think of a name. And at the end of the day, I just sort of thought, you know, let's come back to the fundamentals of what we do. It's a patty and a bun. We just want it to be the best fucking patty and bun that we can possibly do. And I was like, shit, that actually feels right, patty and bun. And then there was, you know, I was thinking, shit, you know, you could, it sounds quite iconic. People could think about, you know, like they're sort of, you know, people and shit like that. But, well,
it's
actually tough, the branding company at the beginning.
It's a tough process. Isn't that any tips for people who are sat there listening, thinking, I'm starting this business, I can't name it?
Go to the core. Just, yeah. I would take a breath, write down, you know, what, you know, on one page bit of paper. And I did that quite a lot at the beginning in terms of like, you know, what is this, what do we want to achieve and what does it mean to us and what do we really stand for? And that, you know, I wouldn't, you know, some people write like essays, but I think, you know, if you can simplify it down to like the core fundamentals, then a lot becomes clear.
And what was so interesting about you saying about patty and bun is that you didn't follow the norm, right? Everyone was going burger this or burger that.
Yeah.
And Ed and I very much go on the same sort of road where we were told this amazing thing that never follow logic, because logic gets you back in the same place as everybody else. Yeah. Do something completely against the grain.
Outside the box.
But also...
But I mean, not for the sake of it, Matt. I would say, like, you know, it's... You know, you can talk... I suppose the great thing about entrepreneurship and stuff like that is it's so independent. Like, it's so... You know, it's down to the person, their mentality, their psyche and XYZ. But the fundamentals of it for me was always, you know, be the best that we can possibly be, create the best possible product and stay true to the brand at all times. And I think, you know, and have a vision and really work towards that every single day and don't sort of steer off.
It's interesting, Joe, but also, you know, we've spoken a lot about brand and a lot about those situations, but and that is what you have. But the thing, what we haven't spoken about, which is probably one of the most important things, is finding a site.
Actually
that process.
Yeah.
And so you're a young guy, you are trying to find a space in the most expensive part in the world, London.
Mayhem, yeah.
And you want to start selling burgers. Yeah.
It's still a nightmare. It is a nightmare. So, but good. But as in, just stay true, people. So, stay true. You can do it.
So did you have to raise money? How did you find site? What happened?
Yeah, mate, I think this links in, obviously, because I know I was deviating in terms of sort of that.
No, it's good.
That sort of that axle when we've sort of getting going. And I think this was like, I suppose this sort of, you know, really sort of thicken the skin, this sort of part of the journey in terms of, you know, going back to like, you need that balance of super like tunnel vision, like when you're starting out and like, you know, you're so like hungry and you know what you want to achieve and you like can conquer the world and like all this sort of jazz, which is brilliant because you need that energy and that drive at that point. But also on the flip side of that, I was just so green and like so naive. And I went on like a burger pilgrimage to like New York and I'd like smashed, I must put on a stone.
But that naivety is key at the beginning.
Definitely.
If you look at it like playing a role in a movie, if you want to go and play Hamlet in the movie. Yeah. Don't go and watch how someone else has done it, because then you're confused about your own.
Are you auditioning, mate?
I'm auditioning for Hamlet.
There you go, buddy.
But it's interesting that you say that. You have to be individual.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, look, at the time, it's funny, I look back now and I was like, fucking hell, I didn't have a Scooby-Doo what I was doing, but in the best possible way. And I think, you know, that was the biggest hurdle. You're so isolated. You know, you're so... You know, people are living their lives and they're doing their 9-to-5s, and some people are doing well and some people haven't found their calling and stuff like that. And you're trying to get like this, you know, I was chatting to mates, being like, I'm going to do the most epic burger joint, like, and get it off the ground. They were like, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah, and you haven't got a clue. Who are you? What? And, you know, so I basically went to New York for like a week, basically ate every single, and this was back in the time as well. It's a really, really important part. Of the sort of London food scene, I suppose, where there was a big sort of shift towards like pop-ups and sort of independent operators. And this was sort of, I would say, the beginning of, well, like the demise of the high street and, you know, and that sort of accessible food type, pizzas, burgers. Everyone was sick and tired of the same sort of shit. And people were becoming a lot more sort of mature in terms of like what they wanted and taste and everything like that. And just basically, you know, a bit of a sort of, sort of rebellion to doing things and doing them a lot better and a more accessible sort of price point.
Jamie, bad news. That is the end of part one.
What?
I know. We got there so quick, but don't fear. Part two is coming right up, just one click away. So everybody that's listening, just go over and click part two.
Thank you so much for listening. Honestly, it really does mean a huge amount. And we also hope today's podcast has inspired you to move towards your dream or passion. Now, if you like the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. And if you'd like to get in touch, please email us at move@moveclub.co.uk or follow us on Instagram @moveclub. Until next time, this is Move.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.